Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, March 4th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
stocks in Asia tumble with China dropping 3%.
The bond market stabilizes as Jay Powell prepares to speak on the economy.
The Senate's final vote on stimulus gets pushed into the weekend.
Capitol Hill is locked down after warnings of a possible threat.
New York Governor Cuomo apologizes amid sexual harassment allegations, but says he will not resign. Plus, House Democrats have approved sweeping voting legislation. I'm Mike LaBarre. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. James Harden back in Houston led the Nets to another win, and Aaron Boone is taking a medical leave of absence.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower after a sell-off in Asia overnight. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 65. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. And the 10-year Treasury of 4/32 yield 1.46%. Nathan.
Karen, yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street spread to Asia overnight, with stocks in China leading declines. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell 1.7%. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks led the declines as investors sold out of consumer and tech stocks. The CSI 300 had its biggest one-day drop since July, down 3.2% to a two-month low. The Hang Seng Tech Index is close to bear market territory, down 20% from its peak. Losses among tech giants, the likes of Samsung and SoftBank, saw the Kospi and Seoul down 1.3%. The Nikkei 225 off over 2% in Tokyo. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Outside of Asia, we're seeing more muted moves in markets this morning. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John, good morning.
And Karen, U.S. stock futures are falling, adding to yesterday's 2.7% decline for the NASDAQ and the 1.3% drop in the S&P 500. The culprit behind the sell-off appears to be rising Treasury yields and inflation expectations. Early inklings of inflation were evident in the data from the Institute for Supply Management, where prices paid jumped to their highest levels since 2008. Well, that's stoking volatility and raising concern that the prolonged equity rally may be in jeopardy. Well, this morning, yields are stabilizing. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Now the direction of U.S. markets today could be driven by Jay Powell. The Fed chairman weighs in on the economy during an event hosted by the Wall Street Journal. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed chairman and his colleagues have been at pains to insist they will not change policy this year. Investors don't believe them. Treasury yields are up across the board, except in money markets, with overnight rates occasionally trading negative intraday, which is why traders are suddenly talking up Fed action. They could sell shorter tenors like the two-year and buy farther out on the curve, a new Operation Twist. They could sell bills to push up overnight repo rates, or they could do nothing. If they're contemplating anything, Powell may want to hint at it in his appearance. It's the last before the next Fed meeting on March 17th. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Congressional action on stimulus is also in focus and likely will be for several days. The Senate is not likely to approve President Biden's relief package until the weekend. Lawmakers are waiting on an official cost estimate while Democrats continue revising the measure passed by the House.
Well, House members aren't going to be on Capitol Hill today. The chamber has canceled its session out of an abundance of caution after warnings of a possible threat on the U.S. Capitol building. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Capitol Police warn a militia group has launched a plot to breach the Capitol today. That alert followed another joint intelligence bulletin this week from Homeland Security and the FBI about right-wing extremists talking about attacking the Capitol starting today through March 6th. As they claim, March 4th is the true inauguration day, when former President Trump will be sworn in for a second term. The House session is canceled. The Senate still plans to meet. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Politics coming into play when it comes to the pandemic. President Joe Biden is criticizing Republican governors in Texas and Mississippi for lifting mask mandates.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
Biden calls lifting mask mandates a big mistake. Meantime, the vaccine campaign continues to push ahead. The U.S. is now administering more than 2 million shots a day. Get the latest on the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Politics are front and center in Hong Kong as well. The city has now disappeared from the Heritage Foundation's list of the world's freest economies. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Hong Kong held the number one spot for 25 consecutive years. Then last year, it was passed by Singapore. This year, it was dropped altogether. Well, now it's counted as part of China, and that reflects Beijing's increasing sway over policy. China itself ranks 107th, nestled between Uganda and Uzbekistan. The study says Hong Kong policies are now controlled by Beijing. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Turning back to markets now, oil front and center this morning. Brent crude is trading at $63.91 a barrel as OPEC meets to decide policy on production. Bloomberg's Renita Young has the story.
OPEC and its allies are keeping the oil market guessing about their next move. The group offered no clues Wednesday on whether we'll get the April supply increase markets are expecting. The trajectory of oil prices in the coming months now rests on an OPEC Plus meeting today. Crude could move higher if the group does not deliver the supply needed to fuel an economic recovery. Oil watchers still expect OPEC Plus to revive some of the 7 million barrels a day they've halted. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Back on Wall Street, Melvin Capital is making a comeback. The hedge fund took a pounding during the retail stock trading frenzy, but is now recouping some of its losses. Gabe Plotkin's fund lost 53% in January. Now, after adjusting strategy, Plotkin pulled off an almost 22% gain in February. That's about eight times the return of the S&P 500.
Meantime, one of the hottest investments on Wall Street has suffered another setback during this tech sell-off. The main fund from Cathie Wood's ARK Investment Management has dropped 20% from its highs. That's after surging more than tenfold over the past year. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A contrite New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is apologizing following sexual harassment allegations against him and calls to resign. Cuomo says he learned an important lesson about his own behavior around women.
I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say, but that's the truth.
Cuomo says, though, he intends to remain in office and will fully cooperate with the state attorney general's investigation into the allegations. Governor Cuomo also talked about his state legislature planning to repeal some of his COVID-19 emergency powers. This after the governor is under investigation for allegations of withholding COVID deaths at nursing homes.
Whatever order I put in place, the legislature can repeal it in 24 hours or whenever they choose.
Cuomo had avoided public appearances for days following the dual scandals. House Democrats have approved sweeping voting and ethics legislation. The bill was approved on a near party line 220-210 vote. It would restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts, strike down hurdles to voting, and bring transparency to the campaign finance system. By a vote of 220-212, the House last night passed the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, holding police accountable. The same bill was passed last year but was stalled in the then Republican-led Senate. Representative Akeem Jeffries of New York spoke after the vote.
The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act is about making sure that every single American, regardless of race, can experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
The measure bans chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland will have to wait a little longer to be confirmed after Republican Senator Tom Cotton said he would refuse to expedite a final confirmation vote. Garland has enough bipartisan support to be confirmed, but Cotton complained about how Garland answered questions, including about immigration and the death penalty. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashow.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The small crowd allowed in last night in Houston gave James Harden some cheers and some boos. They loved what Harden did for 8 years with the Rockets, three scoring titles and an MVP. Not as thrilled with Harden forcing a trade out of town. He continues to lead the Nets to victories. They won easily 132 to 114. Harden scored 29, yet another triple-double. Brooklyn hits the All-Star break, having won 10 of the last 11, seven straight on the road. Knicks home tonight for Detroit. St. John's was home, beat Providence 81-67. Seton Hall lost to UConn. Wagner won to win the Northeast Conference regular season title. The season over for Fordham. The Rams went 2-12. They'll have a new coach next year. Aaron Boone is only 47, but he had open-heart surgery 9 years ago. He had been feeling sluggish, shortness of breath, got checked out, and Boone had surgery yesterday in Tampa to insert a pacemaker. He won't be managing the Yankees for at least a few days. While in the hospital, he recorded a message for his players, including Brett Gardner.
Tommy here about the heart. Very, very concerning. So, obviously, he's had some issues there before, so... You know, our first thoughts obviously go to him and his well-being, but obviously his first thoughts go to his players and our well-being and making sure we, you know, feel at ease with what he has going on. And obviously it was good to see that he's at ease.
Boone had to leg last night's 4-1 win over Toronto. Corey Kluber retired all six batters, three by strikeout. Gary Sanchez hit already his second home run. Mets lost to St. Louis 14-9. The NFL widely expected to soon announce new TV deals, with Thursday night games being streamed on Amazon. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thanks. And the surge in legalized sports gambling has made the top lawyer at DraftKings a rich man. Stanton Judge, the company's chief legal officer, received nearly $56 million in total compensation last year. Last week, DraftKings disclosed it expects to book nearly $1 billion in revenue this year. That's up from between $750 and $850 million last year. Futures moving lower. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling with U.S. stock index futures as traders await remarks from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell following a renewed bout of bond volatility. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 22 points, Dow futures down 144, NASDAQ futures down 78. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.46%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 54 cents at $60.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.60 at $17.09.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2033 against the dollar. British pound 1.3924. And the yen is at 107.34. Apple shares down about 0.7%. The UK is Competition and Markets Authority said it's launched an investigation into Apple following complaints that its terms and conditions for app developers are unfair and anti-competitive. And we're also watching today for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Durable goods orders and factory orders out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. Capitol Police say they have uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the Capitol today. The threat appears to be connected to a far-right conspiracy theory that former President Donald Trump will rise again to power on March 4th, the original inauguration day under the Constitution. The Duke of Edinburgh underwent a successful procedure for a pre-existing heart condition. Buckingham Palace says Queen Elizabeth's husband, who is 99, will remain in hospital for treatment and rest for a number of days. New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone has taken a leave of absence from the team to get a pacemaker and intends to return to work in a few days. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins in a shootout 2-1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're coming up on 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and despite that new threat to the Capitol that Michael mentioned there in the news, the Senate is pressing ahead with debate on President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package. For the very latest, we're joined now by Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Welcome back, Kate. Great to have you on with us. We were expecting this debate in the Senate to begin as early as last night. It hasn't worked out that way, though. What's the holdup?
It hasn't. They are still awaiting a CBO score, which is a measure of how much the legislation would cost from the Congressional Budget Office. They had hoped that that score would be in yesterday, but it wasn't, and that's put off consideration of it, at least until today. They're still hoping to begin consideration today. But I think it just underscores the extent to which this is a very complicated piece of legislation, and Democrats are working against this March 14th timeframe, this deadline that they've put up when unemployment benefits expire. And it just shows how difficult it's going to be to meet that.
Well, what's the expectation about how that score is going to play out? There had been some discussion yesterday about narrowing the scope of the benefits in the bill. Wouldn't that bring the cost down?
Yeah, and I think that what Senate Democratic leadership is hoping in the Senate is that they've really found this sweet spot where they've, potentially made some changes in the eligibility requirements for the stimulus checks, the $1,400 stimulus checks that are meant to appease some moderate Democrats. And then also they've kept some House language pertaining to unemployment benefits, and keeping that higher unemployment benefit level is meant to make sure that progressive Democrats remain on board with the bill. And so I think they're hoping that this is one of those situations where there's a little bit of something for everyone, and that'll help keep Democrats united on this. The big concern has been, because Republican opposition is pretty unified against the bill, that, they need to have every Democrat in line to get the 50 votes that they need in the Senate, because it's evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats.
Now, I was going to ask whether it's enough of a sweet spot to bring any Republicans on board. I know they have been in lockstep against this legislation, but is there a possibility that we could see at least some bipartisanship now that there's been a bit of concession to appease moderate Democrats?
Well, it's one of these interesting things, Nathan, where, once there's enough votes for a piece of legislation, it becomes less problematic from sort of an internal caucus perspective for a few Republicans to potentially come on board, because they're not going to be the decisive Republican that handed Joe Biden this big victory. And so I think once they do reach that critical mass on the Democratic side, it becomes a little bit more feasible to think about Republicans maybe being drawn in as well. But as of now, there's really no indication that we're likely to see Republican support.
In the time we have left, is there a possibility that this legislation could be affected or slowed by the sweeping security situation we're seeing in the Capitol now with this new threat that's being talked about surrounding today, March 4th?
Well, absolutely. And I think, we've already seen indications that, at least in part, the reason why the House isn't going to be voting today is because of these security concerns. Obviously, after January 6th, the lawmakers themselves and their staffs, everyone's on pretty high alert about this. And I think there's a real visceral sense, obviously and understandably, from people who are up there on January 6th, that they don't want any kind of a repeat. And so I think that we're likely to see, with the Senate in session today, with the Senate voting and considering such a high-profile piece of legislation, really unprecedented levels of security around the Capitol. And if there is any indication that anything at all is amiss, I would imagine that, the Senate would quickly go out of session and senators would be shuttled to more safe positions.
In our last 30 seconds here, how serious is this threat? What are you hearing behind the scenes about the preparations for what could be coming today?
Well, it sounds like it's very serious, and like people are taking it seriously. Everyone from lawmakers to law enforcement officials to even individual reporters, that people who are going up there are making very definitive plans. I think the essential difference between now and the morning of January 6th is that there is no longer this sense that the Capitol is a secure bunker that can't be breached, and people are definitely making plans to make sure that they keep themselves and their staff safe.
All right, Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, once again, great to have you back on the program with us. Thanks for being here as we do get ready for that stimulus debate to really get underway in the Senate. And votes on a final package probably aren't going to come until this weekend, but we will continue to follow developments as they happen. Stay with us here on Bloomberg Radio for all the latest. Meantime, S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 142, NASDAQ futures down 77 ahead of Jay Powell's commentary later today. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global equities are falling, adding to yesterday's sell-off. Asia was hardest hit, with stocks in China dropping 3%. Japan and Hong Kong fell more than 2%. We're also seeing moves lower in U.S. futures. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, NASDAQ futures are leading U.S. declines this morning, down 0.7%. That's after falling 2.7% in yesterday's session. Rising inflation expectations and a jump in Treasury yields were behind Wednesday's sell-off. This after a proxy for the anticipated annual inflation rate for the next half decade hit the highest level since 2008. Well, yields do appear to be stabilizing this morning, but S&P futures, they're also down 0.7%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, John, the direction of U.S. markets could also be driven by Jay Powell today. The Fed chairman weighs in on the economy during an event hosted by the Wall Street Journal. He is likely to push back on bond market doubts about policy. Skeptics wonder just how patient the Fed will be in pulling back its support for the economy once the pandemic has ended.
Oil prices are in focus as OPEC meets to decide its next move. The markets have been expecting the group to increase production at today's meeting, but analysts say OPEC may deliver a smaller increase than expected. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1%. It's at $60.64 a barrel. Brent is down 0.9% at $63.48.
On Capitol Hill today, the Senate is due to start debate on the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It looks as if this will go into the weekend as changes are being made to what passed the House. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says there will be a new cost estimate as the minimum wage issue has been removed. But Republicans still have issues with it. Senator Pat Toomey.
2020 was an all-time record high revenue year for states and local governments across the country.
And President Biden has also agreed to moderate Democratic demands for tightening eligibility for the $1,400 stimulus checks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And S&P futures again lower, down about 24 points. Dow futures down 144, NASDAQ futures down 86. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.46%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, or $6.50, at 1709.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2043 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.32. Your local headlines and a check of sports all straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo offered an apology as calls continue for his resignation following sex harassment accusations. In his first public appearance since the accusations, Cuomo says, though, he is not going to resign.
We have COVID. We have recovery. We have rebuilding. We have a teetering New York City. We have a terrible financial picture. We have to do vaccines. So, I'm going to do the job the people of the state elected me to do.
Cuomo says he feels awful and embarrassed and never meant to offend anyone. Cuomo pledged to fully cooperate with the state attorney general's investigation and asked the public to withhold judgment. Governor Cuomo also talked about his state legislature having an agreement that would repeal some of his COVID-19 emergency powers. This after the governor is under investigation for allegedly withholding COVID deaths at nursing homes.
On the COVID emergency powers, we've worked with the legislature. We have an agreement on a bill where the legislature can repeal any executive order that I issue with over 50%.
It's some good news for the arts and entertainment industry in New York. Bloomberg's Renita Young has more.
Governor Andrew Cuomo said starting April 2nd, arts and entertainment venues will be allowed to welcome up to 100 people indoors and up to 200 people outdoors. Now, that increase won't be enough to open closed Broadway theaters, but it could allow some small plays and concerts to resume. Limits could be slightly higher, but that's only if venues can require attendees to show proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
House Democrats approved sweeping voting and ethics legislation. The bill approved on a near party line vote would, among other things, restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts and strike down hurdles to voting. The Biden administration said it needs more time to decide whether to turn over former President Donald Trump's tax returns to Congress. Separately, the district attorney in Manhattan has obtained Trump's tax records as part of a criminal investigation into the former president's business dealings. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshire with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Houston's loss has been Brooklyn's gain. James Harden forced a trade and is flourishing with the Nets. Last night he was back in Houston. They actually gave him a video tribute. Harden then scored 29 at a triple-double. The Nets won 132-114. That's Harden's eighth triple-double since the trade. It's the Nets' club record seventh straight road win. It is Houston's 13th loss in a row. St. John's will play Seton Hall on Saturday. Then comes the Big East tournament. Both teams need work to get into the NCAAs. Red Storm did beat Providence 81-67, but the Pirates fell to UConn. The Yankees say Aaron Boone could be back managing in a few days. He had surgery yesterday in Tampa to put in a pacemaker. The 47-year-old Boone had open-heart surgery 9 years ago, had been experiencing low energy and a shortness of breath. Without him, they beat Toronto 4-1. New Yank Corey Kluber looked good. Two big offseason questions for the Jets. What will they do with the second pick of the draft? And will Sam Darnold remain the quarterback? The Jets GM, Joe Douglas.
Sam's a, we think, a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But, you know, like I've said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
Douglas was hired. He said he would never trade a franchise QB. The NFL expected to soon announce new TV deals. Wall Street Journal reports big spikes in rights fees. Disney's ESPN ABC would get into the Super Bowl rotation. And Amazon expected to land Thursday night games. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City is seeking proposals from telecom companies to expand 5G and broadband access citywide. It'll make a $157 million investment to help close the digital equality divide. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the plan is to reach 600,000 New Yorkers, including 200,000 in public housing. A New Jersey school bus company is accused of operating unsafe vehicles, according to an indictment released Tuesday. It's also charged with failing to conduct required background checks. The Press of Atlantic City reports Patterson-based A1 Elegant Tours is accused of falsifying documents it provided to school districts. One day after the governor and the Mohegan Tribal Nation reached an apparent deal on sports and online gaming, it looks like the issue is not settled. Lawmakers from Eastern Connecticut say they'll oppose a deal with the Mohegans if it excludes the Mashantucket Pequots. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Disney shutting 20% of its brick-and-mortar stores as it focuses on e-commerce.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Sinclair Broadcast is cutting 5% of its jobs.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're examining the impact of the Chancellor's budget as the UK economy is now expected to bounce back from the lockdowns more quickly.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford's Mustang Mach-E is facing delayed deliveries.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting a semiconductor chip shortage has led General Motors to extend production cuts at three North American plants.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Retail earnings continue to roll in. More meals cooked at home and a strong holiday shopping season are expected to boost results for Costco. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
The Warehouse Club retailer said it sold out of some holiday inventory early as demand remains strong for household essentials, appliances, electronics, and apparel. Revenue from ancillary services such as travel, optical, hearing, and food courts is improving, but remains lower than year-ago levels. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting an 11.4% rise in same-store sales. Costco is expected to post a profit of about $2.44 a share on revenue of $43.8 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry. Also today, another reading on the labor market. Economists say jobless claims probably rose last week. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Looking at a weather story today, storms, power outages playing havoc with the data on top of the pandemic. The prior report showed claims dropped to the lowest since November, 730,000. Cut through the noise and the story doesn't change. Claims are at historic levels. Millions are out of work. The government issues monthly payroll data Friday. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Futures moving lower on this Thursday morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to seic.com/banks. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 25 points. Dow futures down 143. NASDAQ futures down 106. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.8%. And the 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% at $60.94 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, U.S. Capitol Police say they have uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the Capitol today. In January, a mob of Trump supporters stormed the building. SpaceX's biggest rocket pulled off its first successful landing and then exploded a brief time later. Despite the fiery mishap, the test is likely to signal progress for the massive vehicle. New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone has taken a leave of absence from the team to get a pacemaker and intends to return to work in a few days. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins in a shootout 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Telecoms and consulting firms have received millions of dollars worth of contracts to help the Treasury bolster its resources during the pandemic. AT&T and Verizon were among the recipients. President Biden is urging Senate Democrats to push past their differences and get his $1.9 trillion stimulus package passed. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is calling for sweeping infrastructure spending. He says this is an opportunity for once-in-a-generation support.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another legal story we're watching this morning. Judges with experience in private practice and as federal prosecutors make up more than 70% of the appellate bench. According to a Center for American Progress study, only 1% of circuit court judges have spent their careers as public defenders or within a legal aid setting. Now President Biden is looking to change that. For more on the issue, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Madison Alder.
What's the Biden administration looking for in terms of judicial nominees?
The Biden administration is looking to add diversity to the bench, not just in terms of racial and ethnic and gender diversity, but they've also indicated that they're interested in this experiential diversity category too, which is something the progressives have been pushing for. And that would be adding more people with civil rights experience, people who were public defenders, and people who just aren't really represented on the bench in terms of experiential diversity right now.
Tell us how this desire for work experience diversity is causing something of a problem in Colorado.
So in Colorado, the two senators there recommended a pick for an open district court seat in their state. It was a pick who they had nominated during the Obama administration, and she wasn't able to get through. Her name is Regina Rodriguez. She has had experience as a corporate lawyer, and she is Latina. That recommendation got pushback from progressive groups because of those corporate law ties. They're saying they don't want to see people who have this experience as a corporate lawyer, and that that's not what the Biden administration asked for. In a letter to Democratic senators, White House counsel Dana Remus asked senators to look at experiential diversity and to look at people who had been public defenders and people who had been involved in civil rights organizations. So progressive groups are basically saying that this doesn't line up with what Biden was asking for, and it doesn't line up with what they're pushing for.
There are still federal courts that haven't had a Latino or Latina judge. So is this getting any pushback?
I spoke to the president and general counsel of MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Thomas A. Sines, who said he understands that there's a lot of ground to make up in terms of professional experience, but racial and ethnic diversity remain really important. And if there's going to be corporate lawyers on the bench, and there will always be corporate lawyers and federal prosecutors, at least their ranks can include people who have racial and ethnic diversity. On the D.C. circuit, for example, there has never been a Latino or Latina judge, and that's something that Sines told me that he would like to see changed and the organization would like to see changed under the Biden administration.
That's Bloomberg legal reporter Madison Alder speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:52 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's talk fallout from the pandemic now. Coronavirus lockdowns across the country have hit nearly every part of the economy, and perhaps no industry has felt the pain quite like the music industry. Performers across the country have been shut in their homes, waiting for venues to reopen for live performances. And as the promise of live music gets closer, the excitement is growing. We get more from Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett in this special report.
When's the last time you went to a concert? Maybe you prefer smaller venues, like a favorite nightclub that features local artists, or you prefer festivals like Outside Lands or Lollapalooza. Fact is, it's been a year for most of us music lovers. While we can plug in our earbuds or crank up the 7.1 surround sound to get a musical fix, the people who make the music don't have much recourse. In fact, they can't even turn to waiting tables to wait out the pandemic, as most of those have been closed. Yes, the year of the pandemic has been particularly hard on the music industry. Rolling Stone magazine even published a list of charities that support industry workers, most of whom have been out of work for a year now. Grammy Award winner DJ David Guetta says he's not concerned for himself.
Of course, I'm not talking for myself because I have money on the side. I know I'm going to be able to pay my rent next month, so I'll be fine. But I'm talking about all the community and the artists, the technicians, all the people that are independent contractors, and they really don't have much help compared to every other activity.
Guetta says when the vaccine kicks in, his industry's going to come back with a bang, a big bang.
My feeling is that when this is going to be sorted out, we're going to have the biggest party year of all time. So, because imagine the frustration of millions of people. So I told my kids already, I said, listen, enjoy my company, because when this is over, I'm gone. I'm on tour nonstop.
Essence Goldman is a San Francisco-based single mom musician.
I'm free. I ain't crying about you. I'm free. Ain't worried about you. I'm free.
Who's made her living playing small and large venues for over 20 years.
Artists are 100% having to find new ways to support themselves and sustain themselves.
Essence does not see a V-shaped recovery.
I don't see how we're going to be all dressed up in small nightclubs, you know, shoulder to shoulder watching live music in the next year or two. I don't see that happening at all.
Essence had to find an alternative.
Teaching a ton of coaching people with their voice and songwriting on Zoom. And it's busier than ever.
But not to fear, says Tom Gimbel, CEO of one of the best-known music venue TV shows in the world.
Welcome, everybody, to Austin City Limits.
I think we're going to see a pretty substantial V-shaped recovery. And I think things will go back to the way that they were. I actually think in the short term, we're probably going to see, you know, more concert tickets being sold over the next 24 months than prior to COVID, simply because of a combination of pent-up demand, really great tours being out on the road. I think everybody's going to get back on the road as soon as they can. And also just kind of, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. A lot of people are like, hey, you know, I really miss live music, and they're going to take advantage of it when it's back.
In fact, Gimbel says the music may be better because the best musicians will be well rested.
Part of, you know, the rock and roll or blues or whatever the live music lifestyle might be often, you know, involves drinking or drug use or whatever it might be. Or at the very least, it's just, you know, playing until 2 o'clock in the morning, loading out and getting home at 3 and not getting a very good night's sleep.
Brad Cava, former San Jose Mercury News music critic, current journalism chair at Cabrillo College south of San Jose, and a renowned blues harmonica player, says the recovery will be like it was after the Spanish flu 100 years ago.
When I studied the Roaring Twenties and the history of the country at that time, I hadn't realized it was lifting from their pandemic. I just thought it was an economic boom. But I suspect people are so cooped up and so starved for entertainment that I think it'll fire on all 8 cylinders really quickly. We'll have all those concerts back.
Cava agrees with Tom Gimbel about pent-up demand.
Yeah, I want to go to a movie theater. I want to go see a concert. I want to do all those things, be shoulder to shoulder with people. I don't see any more than it happened in 1918, 1919, that things are going to suddenly change and be different for the rest of the future.
So get ready to party like it's 1921. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Greg, thank you. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down 19 points. Dow futures down 105. NASDAQ futures down 87. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.47%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check of the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.